Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podcast on Fifth Ave. We have a special treat for you today in our second segment. Derek Army, head coach of the Wheeling Nailers, is going to be joining us, so make sure you stick around for that. But first, we obviously have to cover some excellent goaltending that we've been watching, because holy crap, has Tristan Jarry just been playing out of his mind. Unbelievable recently. The not just the amount of goals that he, you know, hasn't given up, but the saves that he's making. He looks like a completely different person than the guy that we were watching in, I don't know, April, May, whenever that hellish nightmare was. What is up with him? How much can we contribute, or how much can we attribute his success to him and his offseason regimen and this new goaltending coach? What's up with Tristan Jarry? Taylor, fill us in.
Yeah, I mean, every, you know, game he plays, he's having a, you know, lately he's having a good game. And if I've asked, you know, whoever, whatever player talks, just like, what have you seen from Jarry in this stretch that has allowed him to have this kind of success? Because, you know, the shutouts he's putting up, and every single player, Sullivan, when I've asked that, they start out with just saying, like, he's confident. You can see it, just his attitude. And when we talked to Jarry about that in New York, he really did attribute Andy Kyoto with helping him with that. He said just making sure he's going into the games in the right mindset. And I think Jarry, I think, has always been pretty good at not letting the highs get too high and the lows get too low. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, after the game five, when he let in, when he turned the puck over, the big flub, when he talked the next day, he was very even keel. And I think that was maybe off-putting to some fans, because I think they see that and they think he doesn't care, whatever. But, it, you know, his attitude after, you know, an awful game like that, at least in talking to us, is exactly the same as it was after, you know, the Islanders, when he puts up, you know, his third shutout in, what was it, five games.
Yeah.
So I think he's always been good at not, because as a goalie, you really can't afford to, you know, get too hung up on the wins or too down after the losses. I think he's always been pretty good at that. But he did say that, you know, Kyoto has really just helped him, making sure he's going into these games with the right mindset. And that's helped his confidence.
And that shutout, yeah, too, against – oh, sorry, Jordan. Go ahead.
No, go.
I was saying, and that shutout against the Islanders too. I mean, yes, it was a different team. Yes, they're missing pieces. Yes, it's in a new arena on Long Island, or technically in New York still. Well, it's still on. It's not. Yeah. It's not on Long Island. It's in. Is it Queens or Brooklyn? Whatever. Wherever. Yeah. Whatever borough it's in.
I don't know
in.
Where I was.
whatever borough it's in. But I think that kind of exercised some demons for him, because that's kind of like, I don't want to compare it to like getting closure in a relationship, but like that's a little bit of closure where it's like, all right, I can close the book completely on that chapter. I can move forward. And we're seeing that from him. You're seeing him keep things so simple. And I think that really, I'd be intrigued to know how much of that is contributed by Kyoto, and how much of an impact he's making. But you're seeing him just like, not try to do too much, not try and, you know, make the outrageous save, just stop the puck. That's really what you're seeing him do. And I think that is a lot of where his confidence is stemming from, because you're seeing a lot of growth in him from, you know, where he was last playoffs. And, you know, we heard him kind of talk about the fact that, you know, he really wanted to come back this season and prove to the organization, like, hey, I'm your guy. I'm going to do that. We heard them have a lot of confidence in him. I just remember, like, the exit interviews and the times that we would speak with Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, you know, they have a lot of confidence in him. But now you're seeing him have this confidence in himself and the numbers and the performances to back it up.
It was funny. Yeah. You mentioned, like, the Islanders series and, like, exercising those demons. You know, Gensel comes in and Gensel's like, yeah, you can tell this meant a lot to him. But Jari was like, he must have a really good poker face or what. Because, you know, he was asked, you know, like, of these three shutouts, you know, does this one, you know, maybe mean the most to you? Like, not really specifically saying that, but he's like, it's just another game. And the team was really good in front of me. And then I asked, you know, outright, I said, given the way last season ended, do you get any extra satisfaction in putting up a performance like this against the Islanders? And he's like, no, just another game, you know, just try to play my best, get better every day. And I was like, okay. Jar is just so even keel, and he never really says anything that interesting, I think, as a result, because he doesn't get too high or too low, but he's always just same attitude, and I think that's helping him.
And I think that's what makes the great goaltenders great, is that they, like you said, it's really all about confidence for goaltenders. Like, that you need, obviously, the physical ability. And we always knew the physical ability was there with Tristan Jarry because we saw it. And we knew that his puck handling skills were just, like, off the charts. But last year, Jenna, you mentioned this, like, he was just trying to do too much, I think. Like, and especially in particular when it came to puck handling, like game five, like you mentioned, Taylor, that what in the world? Like, it just seemed like he was so not in the moment because he was trying to think like 20 steps ahead and make something specific happen and force something that just wasn't there.
He had a moment that I want to say it was that series where I can't remember off the top of my head if it led to a goal or if it just led to him like having to scramble to make a save where it looked like he was trying to score. Like the puck came to him and I can't, this was that series, I'm pretty sure, but the puck came to him and he grabbed it. And instead of just like gloving it down, he put it down and it looked like he was trying to shoot, but then it kind of went awry. But yeah, that's an example of just trying to do too much.
Yeah, but it seems like he has learned his lesson. And honestly, you making that point about him kind of just like keeping the same composure regardless of what type of game he just played, it makes me wonder about Matt Murray, not to go down that rabbit hole, but just because like he was excellent. He was playing so well. And then it seemed like he just got so hard on himself and then just like hyper-focused on I suck, like, and it just spiraled. So to have Tristan Jarry be playing the way that he's playing and just kind of like keep his head down and do exactly what he needs to do every single game. And it, you can tell that it helps the rest of the team play with more confidence as well, because they know that if they slip up, he can and will and has bailed them out, even though that game a couple nights ago in Calgary was atrocious. It was not a good performance by anybody but Tristan Jarry. However, Jake Gensel continued his point streak, which is the longest as we're recording right now on Wednesday. It's the longest active streak in the league. And so having him heat up right now is also pretty critical, because with the departure of Brian Rust and him being week to week now with that injury, like, we need the top line to be pumping it out. And Jake's been doing that. He's been scoring goals and getting points.
Yeah, and Gensel, he did have a slower start to the season. So to see him turn this around, and then what, Evan Rodriguez bumped up onto the top line in Rust absence. I feel like we talk about Evan Rodriguez every single podcast. Probably Jennifer chime in there, but he's just been outstanding too.
He has. And I think just like, again, I feel like this is all, you can kind of attribute all of these to confidence, and not like any of these guys need confidence, but when you have the confidence in your netminder as a forward, you're a little able to play a little more loose. You're able to kind of have a little more, okay, you know, we can try this and we can push a little bit more because we know if God forbid we do turn the puck over, or if this play does go awry, that we'll be able to get back and he'll be able to have our backs in that. But again, you know, it's kind of like vice versa. Your goalie is giving you confidence as a forward, but if you're a guy like Gensel and Rodriguez who's scoring at the pace that they are, you're giving your goalie and the rest of your team confidence too.
Yeah, and even, you know, Jari, he struggled obviously in the shootout early on. They did lose that game in Calgary in the shootout, but he was good. It went, what, 7 rounds? He only let in 2 goals. Which is still, I mean, he didn't get the win, but a complete turnaround from what we saw from him early on. So even, you know, those shootout demons, seems like he's gotten rid of those. But yeah, a lot of positive things all around. I do want to mention Danton Heinen, number 3 star in New York. Accidentally. They're announcing, you know, the 3 stars were down there. We're waiting for the press conferences to start. Now, obviously, New York, Jari, number 1 star. Ilya Sorokin only let in the only goal of the game. He was number 2 star. Kapanen, the only goal scorer that game, but they count the 3 stars. Danton Heinen. If you look at his stat line, it's straight zeros. Like, no hits, no, like, takeaways, no anything. And it was, like, 8 minutes of ice time. And I'm like, what? But he wears, him and Kapanen are 1 number off, 43 and 42. So someone made a mistake, but I just thought that was so funny that, you know, Kapanen, he doesn't even get the number 3 star, give it to Danton Heinen. Kapanen did get the helmet that game at least, but congratulations to Danton Heinen, number 3 star.
Excellent game. Yeah. Number 3 star on the board, number 1 star in our hearts. Love us from Danton Heinen. Why don't we take a break? We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we are back, and we're joined by head coach of the Wheeling Nailers, Derek Army. Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's a nice day here in Wheeling, so I'm happy to be on.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about how your season's going so far. What are your impressions of the team?
Yeah, I mean, our season's going well so far. We're 8-6, and it's one of those where as a coach you're happy because I think any of the games – aside from maybe one, we could have won. You know, we have a chance to win every game, and it's you know, that's a good sign. We've had a little bit more adversity than maybe I'd like with some sickness and some injuries and that kind of thing, some call ups and send downs. But it's part of the, you know, part of the business and part of the ECHL. So it's one that I think I've been happy and proud of the guys for you know, continuing to battle and find ways to win no matter what.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've been doing really well, and it's a weird time to, you know, be doing anything in the sports world with all of the different protocols and regulations that are, you're still trying to figure out and adjust to and all that. But this is your second year as head coach. So what have you learned in this role, especially handling all of the other responsibilities like being the GM of the team and all of that other off the ice stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's one, I think, for, you know, I was able to learn as a player, like kind of what, you know, you see in the league and, you know, my time in the AHL and through the organization you learn. But it wasn't until I became an assistant in Worcester that I kind of really was able to take this side to the next level and take in, you know, just the lessons of, you know, you got to factor in guys traveling in, you got to factor in, you know, being ready for that, you know, that random call up that maybe you didn't expect. And all of a sudden you're like, I need to have preparation of a, you know, our, maybe a guy you wouldn't expect to be playing. All of a sudden he has to be prepared because your best player is getting called up. You know, they're not taking your worst player. So it's one of those that you're just always prepared. And I think you have to have So for us, you know, you're working on your power play, and you typically in the NHL, you know who your power play is. And for us, it's one of those where I want to make sure that every guy could be plugged into the power play. Every guy's ready if that time comes. And so that's just kind of the preparation and balancing salary and all that stuff. So there's a lot that goes into it, but fortunately there's a lot of years of experience here.
Speaking of call-ups, I mean, you've had a lot more guys who have had AHL experience or are NHL draft picks, and we're recording on Wednesday. I know Almeida and Riley just got called up, and Almeida's, you know, short time down there. Just what were your impressions of him? I mean, he had that four-goal game that right before he got called up. Just what have you seen from him?
Yeah, it's one, I think for him, he's kind of been a guy who in the organization has been in, this is third year now, and I think he's still trying to kind of find himself as a pro. And you look at a lot of the college guys who come out there, you know, they're already coming out of college at 23 to the earliest of ages to 26. So they're hitting the prime. Whereas a guy like him who he's 22, 23 now. So, you know, there's still maturing to do for him as a person and as a player. And I think it's one of those that, you know, I think every organization would love to say, hey, it's a rush where, you know, let's rush him. But it takes time. And for him, he's really getting his confidence. And I think it was good this time to come down. And, you know, for these past two times is he's really been able to play hockey. And I think kind of get back to what he loves and have fun playing hockey and see what, you know, works for him. And for him, he's really taken to it. We've had him with some good players and he's kind of just gotten that play. Oh, I've gotten to play again. And maybe that's something that gives a guy confidence in the American League level. And you see the same thing with a guy like Will Riley, who came down as playing penalty kill, power play, and maybe not the same minutes he's playing at Wilkes-Barre, but it's important for his development and you know, for the Pit wants to see him grow and develop as a player. It's very important for him.
And then a guy who's still down there, Josh Maniscalco, not someone we really got to see a whole lot in Wilkes-Barre. He really just kind of spent the whole season practicing. Now that he's actually gotten to play some games, just what have been your impressions of him and his season?
Yeah, he's very skilled. He's a smart hockey player. He gets, you know, he's a good power play guy. We have him. I think his knock maybe was his defensive side of the game needed to improve. And that's one I think you can only improve, you know, as much as practice does, you can only improve in a game. And for us, you know, we've got him killing big penalties. We've got him playing 5-on-6. And I think you're starting to see it. You know, his improvement, it's one that, you know, we spend a lot of time on video and, you know, he gets to see, okay, this is what I have to do differently. And, you know, it's, you know, here that he's going to be able to put maybe some of the try things or just, you know, experience things that when he gets to Wilkes-Barre, he's like, okay, now I've seen this before. I can play in this situation, be confident in this situation. And then, you know, from there, hopefully take off.
And then Alex Dorio, he did just get the call up to Wilkes-Barre too. But I mean, he finished the season last year. Really, he's Wilkes-Barre's starter, and then he does get sent down to Wheeling to start. Just what were your observations how he handled that? Obviously, he probably would have liked to be in Wilkes-Barre, but yeah, what were your impressions of how he handled that, and just what you saw from him before he got this call up?
Yeah, I mean, I think a goalie's aspect is confidence, is, you know, how they're feeling and, you know, if they're feeling good or if they're feeling down. And fortunately for us, Pittsburgh, I think, has really put an investment on goaltending. And we have a guy, Charles Grant, who's our goalie coach at our level. And so, they spend a lot of time with every goalie in a sense of making sure they're a prospect. I mean, you saw it with Casey DeSmith. So no one's out of the realm of possibility of being a Penguin. And for him, Alex, I think, was disappointed to come down, but it was one that, and unfortunately he had a spur of things. He had an ear infection in Wilkes camp. He had, he got sick. He got the flu before his first start here. He, you know, had some bumps and bruises along the way. And all of a sudden, so now all of a sudden he's looking at his game like, oh, I'm behind the eight ball. And thankfully we had Chuck Grant to work with him. And then it's just, from my aspect, is, hey, I believe in you. Like, you know, as a coach, that's all you have is take the net and I believe in you. And I think that's one guys on the team really took to him because, hey, he started to feel confident. He started to feel good and he had a few really good games. And, you know, I think he was happy and I think he was excited, obviously, to go up. But one now where he knows, okay, I'm happy with my game. I'm happy to go up. And now it's my turn to maybe take the net.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Casey DeSmith. I think when you played in Wheeling, was that Casey's first year? And I think he didn't even play. He was the third goalie behind Foster and Frankie.
Yes.
He didn't get until like December. Are you able to like use that as maybe an example of how, you know, just because it's not going the way you want in Wheeling, it doesn't, you know, you're not out of it.
Yeah, I think I mean, for me, like I've seen a few different cases, like guys like that. But it's one for him is he was our third goalie, and he was a guy who, you know, you could tell there was some potential, and they worked with him, but it was one I don't think anyone had any expectations of, hey, he's going to be in the, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins organization for a few years. And so it was one that I think I used to, especially for goalies, is, hey, you're never out of the woods. You may think you're down and out. You know, you look at Scott Darling, who was a, you know, Wheeling Nailer, is you just never know. Well, you never know when your break's coming. And that was my message to Doors when he came down, was, you know, maybe your time, maybe it's next year, maybe it's in a few years, but you have to be prepared for that time. You prep for that next opportunity and open that door for the next opportunity. And I think, you know, that's something he's maybe taken pride in. And, you know, I think guys, goalies, especially in this organization, take pride in, is, hey, I could be the next Casey DeSmith.
Yeah. And then another player I want to ask about, Shaw Boomhauer, not a guy on an NHL contract, but I know someone the Penguins fans are excited about from development camp, really just because of his name, probably the coolest name in the organization. But just what can you tell us about him as a player?
Yes, I will specify right off the hop, great name. Absolutely great name. Perfect for a guy who's leading the ECHL in fights and in penalty minutes. Yeah. So he's a guy who for us is a great teammate. Last year took a year off, but he's a guy similar to like Almeida. I think he's a 98 birth year, Shaw is. So there's a lot of potential there for him. And it's, you know, he's got to get his puck touches. He's got to get, you know, his play time and get his reps up. But I think he's a guy who he can really skate. He's big. He's physical. He's not tall, but he's big. Like he's got a frame to him, and he plays hard. He goes to the net, and that's a guy who I think you just never know what the ceiling is as he continues to develop. You know, he's going to have to learn how to kill penalties and play a kind of a shutdown role. But he's a guy who he's playing a lot here. It's probably great for his development, and it's one that I think you can't teach toughness today. And he's a guy who you don't have to teach that to. So if that opportunity comes, which I think it will over the next few years, I think he's a great investment for this organization.
And then last player I want to ask about, Casper Bjorkqvist, not someone you've coached, but someone you're familiar with just because of that Providence College connection. I know you're a fan of him and his game. Just what do you like about him?
Yeah, he's a guy who I think in college, you know, I don't know him before going to Providence, but he's a guy who learned, you know, it's very structured at PC. It's very systematic. So he's a guy I think could plug in any role. He could be, you know, a top line guy. He could be a fourth line in Pittsburgh, and you would know exactly what you're going to get from him. He's going to be hard on pucks. He's going to be strong on pucks. He's going to go to the net. He's going to be good on the forecheck. He's going to be detailed. And some of the aspects that maybe you can't teach guys, he has. And he's a big, strong kid. And I think he's a guy that, especially at that level with, you know, right now you've seen some of the guys like a Kunackel or a Rowney or some of these guys come through who have been really consistent players and know the system. He's a guy who kind of fits that build of maybe, you know, a guy you can plug and play anywhere.
Now your dad, Tim, has quite a coaching resume. He just won his 100th game with the Iowa Wild in the AHL. What impact has he had specifically on your coaching career? Do you guys talk at all in terms of, you know, getting some advice and stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, growing up, he was, you know, obviously, I think, you know, he's my inspiration for, you know, getting into coaching. My brother and I both grew up watching him. And I think for me as a kid, I've always, my dream is, you know, I was the little kid at the rink and in the locker room with Teemu Selanne or Paul Kariya. And he was, you know, probably proud of me then. And so now I have my 1 year old. And so I have a lot of pride and, you know, I have my 1 year old Boone in the locker room with me. So it kind of comes full circle. But in terms of coaching, he's, you know, a guy I try to learn from. I was fortunate enough to play on, I don't know, five or six different AHL teams. So I, you know, always on a different, you know, with a different coach. And I try to write, you know, keep my notebook of, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like, systems. And I always, you know, open mind to everything. I think that's the thing I learned most from him is as he's gotten older, he's continued to have an open mind to everything. He hasn't shut his mind off. So, you know, you see some guys who maybe it's all about feel. I don't care about analytics. Well, he, you know, he kind of started reading a lot of books about analytics a few years ago. And then, you know, that kind of shows me, you know, he's like, hey, you should get into this too. And it just shows the different aspects of, you know, how you're going to be a good coach. And I think he's been able to all these years learn and now, you know, really put it in, implement it in Iowa. But it's one that I for sure pick his brain on systems. And we go over video and XOs and we go over the systems of 1-2-2 and, you know, face-off plays. And I'm sure my mom gets a little annoyed with some of our dinners.
I was gonna say, probably the three of you around the table, maybe a couple more of you. It's the two of you going back and forth, and everyone else is like, can we hockey talk for like 30 seconds?
Yes, I think my mom she's like, enough's enough, guys. Let's talk something else. Talk about the lake. Let's talk about anything else, please.
Well, you kind of gave us a perfect transition there because we have to give the people what they want. You and Brandon Tanev played college together, college hockey together at Providence. What is the best Tanev story you have for us? Especially Jordan, she's dying to know.
On the edge of my seat.
There's some that I would have to tell off air. But as I'm sure everyone knows, Tanny is, he's free to speak his mind. But I mean, the thing I think I remember most about Tanny was his motor was always going. Like, it was nonstop. It was 5:30 in the morning for workouts, and he was always chirping about something. He was I think there's one thing I'll take away from Tanny is he's very proud of his brother, very proud of his family. And so I remember watching his brother score his first NHL goal. So I texted him, and I think oddly enough, he was always up a late night, but for this instance, he was sound asleep for his brother's goal. And just talking to him about it, you could tell, obviously the next morning he was all juiced up about it. That would be a more intimate story, I guess. But in terms of, his as a human, whether it be we won the Mayor's Cup and he's posing with the just the cup, nothing on. there's plenty of stuff from Tanny. He was a great time. He was a great teammate to have because he pushed everyone. But he was a lot of fun because he didn't shut up and he let you know it, whether it be sewer ball or you're playing a shootout. He made sure you knew he was the better player.
You've mentioned before when I've talked to you that he's not a fan of Boston sports, and I think you said you used to bring it up just to rile him up.
Yes, he definitely grew up in college. There's a lot of Boston, obviously in Providence, there's a lot of Boston people, and we had, everyone loves the Patriots and the Red Sox. And so Tanny was very much adamant that those were not the good teams, and he would go at it with everyone. So if you brought up, if you brought up the Patriots and kind of talked high about the Patriots, he would find a way to knock you down a peg. he didn't like the Boston sports, that's for sure. So I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't play for the Bruins.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That makes me love him somehow even more because I'm obviously born and bred in Pittsburgh, but not a fan. Nope. No, thank you. Shut
that's
up.
It's okay to be not a fan.
Yep. Well, Derek, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show with us and talk about how Wheeling's doing, how your coaching career has been, and then obviously share some stories about the love of my life, Brandon Tanev. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we will be right back. And we are back. Thanks once again to Derek Garmey for joining us on this episode. It was such a blast to talk to him and just get to hang out for a little bit. There was other exciting news, though, that was announced and released out there into the Twitter sphere today. The Penguins have a new third jersey for this year. And like we talked about before, we just keep manifesting things. If you need anything or want anything or just have preferences, let us know. We'll make it happen.
We got
the
Jeff
Snoop
Carter's,
jerseys are back. Yeah.
Jeff Carter got his fruit snacks. The title of our last episode is Bring Back the Snoop Jerseys. Only
and here they are.
So, yeah, any requests, we'll manifest it and just tweet it us. But
yeah, but those jerseys are like I was on the fence about them in particular just because I was so gung-ho about Robo Penguin. And I think a lot of people really want that to come back. But I also said, I'm pretty sure as soon as they announce these third jerseys, I'm going to be all up in my feels about it. And I am. And they're beautiful. And I want 5 to 10 to 50 of them. Like the whole roster, just give it to me. They're so clean. Love it. What are your thoughts, Jenna? How do you feel about these jerseys now that they're official?
Oh, I love them. We've talked about this too, but all of us, I feel like, have just such a love for really nice, really good looking jerseys. And you can go across sports. Like everyone always references like the Chargers powder blue, which is great color. But these are, they're great. I mean, yeah, a little bit. Everybody's like, okay, bring back Robo Penguin. But if you're not going to give us Robo Penguin, I'm like, you know what? I can settle with this. I'm totally fine. The nostalgia here is fantastic. I mean, you love it. They're so fresh. They're so clean. It's going to be a nice look. I think they're going to wear them for
December 11th.
Yeah.
For December 11th, 12 games.
12 games. Yeah. So honestly, like those matchups are going to be so fun. Give me all the fun jersey matchups. I know they're playing the Sabres in one of them. So can we get like the Snoop Dogg versus the Royal Blues and just have like a beautiful jersey matchup? That would be great.
Or the Capitals wearing their Screaming Eagle. Those are my
favorite. Oh, yes.
I love those. I love those. Happy to see the diagonal one make a return, but we're all talking about the Robo, you know, logo, the Robo Pigeon, Triangle Pigeon logo. That jersey is supposed to have it on the shoulder patch. And that's really the only thing that's different about this from when they wore it in the 90s is that now the shoulder patch, it's the current logo minus the triangle in the back. But so I feel like, you know, if they deliberately replace the pigeon on this jersey, I feel like we're never going to see it come back. I don't know. Maybe. So I've heard that, you know, Mario, not a fan of that logo, because I mean it's not really associated with anything good. They changed to that after winning the two cups and
Club
Out 4, where they had, that was really their best team of all time, the 92-93 team, in that logo, and then they lose to the Islanders in the playoffs. So a lot of bad memories associated with that switch to that logo. But I don't know, maybe new ownership, maybe LeBron will like the logo, we'll see it come back. But
LeBron, yeah,
like, after seeing that, you know, left off of this, I was like, we're just never going to see that logo come back. But I don't know, maybe new ownership, but it's, I don't know, it's hard to say because Mario is going to stay involved. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But cool to see those jerseys make a comeback. Mm-hmm. They go on sale December 11th. Mm-hmm. The 11th through the 15th, you can buy it at Penn's Gear. And then from the 16th on, you can buy it at Dick's and wherever else they sell jerseys. So, it'll be cool to see those make a comeback.
Oh, for sure. And I have it in my calendar. I'm going to the game on the 11th. So I'm like, going to have to get there with enough time to look around and just take it all in and figure out what I'm going to do. And I only have a little over a week to budget for this. So figure it out. But they're super slick. And I can't wait to see the guys take the ice in those jerseys. There were some other interesting things. There was a lot of aggression in hockey this past week. We saw some glove tossing, some biting. It's been free for all, kind of. I don't know if it was like the Thanksgiving spirit that had people kind of just like losing their minds. But yeah, Brendan Lemieux bit somebody. And Artemi Panarin threw his glove at
Brad Marchand.
I can't say I feel bad about that one, but so let's start with Brendan Lemieux. Taylor, give us the rundown. What was that?
Yeah, so I mean, he bit Tkachuk. Lemieux's on the Kings now. They're playing the Senators. They just got into a little scuffle, and Tkachuk, he came right up, and you can't see the bite in at least the angles we saw on TV, but his hand was in Lemieux's face. Lemieux apparently bit him twice, and you can tell, I mean, from Tkachuk's reaction right away, very, you know, emotional reaction right away. And so Lemieux got suspended 5 games for that. It's hard to say what – there's really not much of a precedence for this. Yeah, at least in recent years. But what, it's him and his father are the first pair to be suspended in the NHL for biting. I can't imagine that's ever going to be a record that's broken unless Brendan Lemieux has a son. Then, you know, I'd say watch out.
Just carry on the family.
I guess it runs in the family. But, I mean, Lemieux and Tkachuk, their dads have history, you know, because those guys have their sons right now, not a fan of each other. But you almost have to wonder, like, growing up, did they hear, like, their dads, you know, talking smack about each other because their dads have fought. So I don't know what five games. It's hard to say. Again, not much of a precedence. I think I expected more. I think I expected maybe around eight. Normally when you see a suspension, if after something like egregious like this, you know, you want to like, you know, make an example of the player, but it's like no one bites anyone anyway. Like, it's not like we need to get this out of the game. It's like this never happens. Kachuk, we were just laughing before we started, but so Kachuk, he was asked about it after, and he really kind of went on a rant. It was great, but someone paid Gilbert Gottfried in a cameo to read it. And it just turned into something hilarious, but hopefully we can dub that in here.
Tkachuk didn't stop there either. It's outrageous. Kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that. And I don't even know when he was thinking. He just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player. What a joke he is to Tkachuk.
But I mean, Tkachuk, he said he's a bad guy, a bad player. What a joke he is. He called him a complete brickhead, which, what a descriptor. I love that.
I'm going to have to use that and find ways to bring that application to real life. Brickhead.
Yeah, but I don't know, just crazy stuff to see. Five games, I think I would have expected more, but
yeah, I didn't know what the suspension was, so you saying five games felt very short for, I don't know, like, right? I can't imagine that if I bit somebody at work that they would let me come back
after weeks.
Five games. Yeah. I don't know, that's interesting. Gross, disgusting, please don't do that again. But a little bit less gross, but equally as heated. I mentioned already Artemi Panarin threw his glove across the way at Brad Marchand. Again, I'm not a fan of any Boston team, and I'm not a fan of Brad in particular. Jenna, what do you make of that situation? Because they're two pretty prolific players in the league, and they got into it.
That gif was incredible. I had that, I kid you not, I had that on repeat for honestly the better part of the day that it happened. That was Thanksgiving day. No, it was a Friday. It was the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was the day after Thanksgiving. There's so much to break down in all of it too, especially AJ Molesko right in the middle of it. And she's just like watching it happen and laughing. I'm like, yeah, that would be the same reaction I would have. Cause mm-hmm. It's just so outrageous. Panarin like whips his glove. It feels like it's like, again, I don't know if we're having like a childish theme this week, but it feels like, you know, kids at the playground are fighting and it's like, no, I don't like, and just like, you know, throwing. That's exactly what I pictured it. But then Marchand was asked about it, and he said that he told reporters that he had said, I said, no one in Russia likes him. If that's what sets guys over the edge, then this is the softest in the world.
Because initially Marchand was asked about that, and I think he said something like, we were just talking about Thanksgiving, like kind of playing it off. But then Panarin came out, and he said, he was talking about Russia. So then I think they asked Marchand again about that. But I don't know. I just think, like chirping, you're supposed to get under someone's skin. But I don't know, like, well, this specifically, if it, knowing what's going on in Russia, if this maybe crosses the line a little. Knowing, because what Panarin, he had to take time off. Was it last season?
Mm-hmm.
Just to settle everything. Because, I mean, he's been critical of Russia, worried about putting his family in danger. So for Marchand to use that, kind of scummy. I did really like Panarin's response when he was asked about it. So Panarin was fined $5,000 for the toss. I feel like if someone would have set up a GoFundMe immediately, it would have been filled because Marchand, not even knowing the circumstance, but his quote was, I lost 5K, but thanks to the old general manager for 11.6, I'm good. He makes 11.6 million a year. So yeah, to bring that up, he said, thanks to the GM for the $11.6 million. He can afford the $5,000 fine.
Oh my God, I love it.
For tossing the glove. I saw it came out because when we really didn't know what he said and did Marchand say cross the line, I thought it was interesting that, so, I mean, players are mic'd up. There's like the mic, but like AJ's mic. The NHL isn't allowed to use any of that in disciplinary hearings. Hmm. I guess that was an agreement that's in the CBA, something the NHLPA pushed for. That, you know, if our players are going to be wearing these mics, you can't ever use that against us, because then, you know, why would a player ever agree to wear a mic, I guess? So I get where they're coming from, but it's interesting. I mean, this was a comment about Russia, and you can be, I guess everyone will have an opinion on whether that crossed the line given Panarin's situation. But I don't know if it was like a slur. Is the NHL is really going to be like, we can't listen to the mics because of the rule? I just think that's interesting, but
yeah. And you know what? I don't trust Brad Marchand. He could have said whatever the hell he wanted and tried to spin that as like, I was just fill in the blank. I just said that nobody from, there's no way that's what you said, Brad Marchand. I spare me that you were trying to tell him that nobody in Russia likes him. No, he's full of it. I think he lied, and he probably did say something. If not offensive, then agitating, more agitating than that, because I think that, like, Artemi Panarin is not known for that type of behavior typically. Like, he's pretty, he's pretty chill. So for him to toss a glove, I feel like the circumstances would have had to have been a little bit.
Well, I mean, what, yesterday we saw an example of a good shirt that's supposed to get under someone's skin, Tanev, with a crack and replying the Sabres. He wasn't mic'd up. He's just so loud that the broadcast mics pick it up. And he said, like, you effing suck. How the F did you get that deal at Skinner? Because, you know, Skinner probably overpaid. But
I love him.
So, yeah, I love that. I feel like we get something like this from Tanev a couple times a year. There was that one against the Bruins. Yeah, when he wasn't even, that was all lip reading. You couldn't even hear him. He's like, you think you're the effing sheriff? Why, what, have you played 10 games? Who are you? Go back to the minors. You effing suck and all this. And the whole time Zucker's next to him, like eating it up. So,
oh my God, he's the king of jerps.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to cross the line. That was funny. It's probably going to get under Skinner's skin a little bit.
And it's true.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not something like the Russia comment, I guess, that Marchand's
borderline.
Yeah.
But I need to get my mind off Brandon Tanev before I send it to you. But yeah, it's a crazy league. Crazy world, lots of things going on, and
no soap operas. Just hockey. Is that what the ad was? Remember that the NHL? Yeah, they ran those like Facebook ads like a couple of years ago, and it was like no soap operas, just hockey, which doesn't really make any sense, really. But then since then, it feels like it's been one big soap opera.
They've lived up to that mantra. They've really lived into the skid. Oh my God. But let's wrap it up. Thanks as always for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. We appreciate you taking the time to hang with us. And once again, thank you, Derek, for joining us for this episode. We will see you next week for another episode of Podcast on Fifth Ave on Thursday. They drop every Thursday at 2. If you're not subscribed already, you can do that on YouTube or wherever it is you listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week.